They'll check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be now cast.
Third culture kids, where the concept of the Dukan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You're tuned into the Dukan show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
The Dukan.
Welcome
to your tribe.
Well, welcome, Tak.
Welcome, Zaki. Thank you.
Akawi's replacement for the week or maybe the next couple of weeks. I don't know. Depends on when Akawi feels like
forever.
Coming back.
Tak is my youth mentor. He mentors me about what's happening in the world of... Yeah. He mentors me about what's happening in the world of OnlyFans.
you know, right. OnlyFan?
OnlyFan. Single fan.
I have a question.
Go.
Go for it.
If a really close friend of yours started an OnlyFans, right... And you're not necessarily interested in seeing the content. Would you still support it? Like, just you pay for a subscription and...
I mean, pay for a subscription. Because then now you're telling me I got to pay for a VPN first. And then pay for a subscription. That's a lot of spend.
But that's support.
Bruh, they said that if you share and you save and you comment on someone's Instagram is enough support.
Is it?
That's broke support.
but if
hashtag
you're not
no money support.
Yeah, but you know, like, it's true. What he's saying is it's like your friend has made an EP or like has put out an album and you decide not to buy it.
No, I'm like the data. I'm like those, what do you call them? You know those centers, the streaming centers? I will just play it in the background on loops for hours.
Yeah, but this is an OnlyFans. This is an OnlyFans. In this hypothetical situation.
Yeah, too many barriers to entry.
No. I think we should support. There's only two barriers. There's the VPN and the payment.
Annual subscription on the VPN and annual subscription to your content.
So you're saying you wouldn't support the culture.
Okay, how about this?
So you're saying you hate the culture.
I ask people this all the time.
Go for it.
I remember I posted on my story once. I'm like, would you pay $5... Or sorry, would you pay $1 for one of my songs? And you'll own...
Done.
You'll pay $1 for one of my songs, right?
I'll pay 10 for one.
No, but let's keep it at $1 just for the concept.
Okay,
right.
Go for it.
You would do that because you know me, you're my friend and your homie, and you'd support me as well. So let's take you out of the equation. I asked this on my story to people who are like fans or people who I don't know personally. And obviously, you know, friends supporters voted as well, but... 60% voted no.
What? 60% of people told you to your face they wouldn't give you $1 for your song?
Yeah, and here's the
I want to see where this is going. I'm so in right now.
$1 or a dirham? 3.69.
3.67 dirhams. Go for it. Let's say 5 dirhams.
Five dirhams. Okay. And when I asked why, the people that did respond that said no would be like, because I have streaming. I just don't see the point. Like, I feel like I can just stream your music. Like, I don't see why, like, I should pay $1 where I can just find it. And then that's them being honest, right?
Right.
I get it. On a completely separate day, months later, I ask, would you buy me a beer?
And the answer
Everyone, yes.
Ah.
Beers are 45 dirhams. If you're lucky.
Okay.
That is insight. That is a great research
tactic.
That's a great research tactic.
I like it. Right? I like that.
It's so weird to me, and I've boiled it down to this. People have such an ego when an artist is close to
attainable.
Them.
Right.
Exactly. Reachable, messageable, whatever. Like the fact that you can message me and most likely because I'm not famous, I will respond.
Right.
Gives them this thing, this almost like entitlement.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, and I don't mean to say entitlement in a way that's like, oh, they're being egotistical. But it's more like you feel now that you have a unspoken privilege of some sort.
Right. But that's the thing, because like you're attainable. So then even when they don't like something, you're easier to critique, but they wouldn't critique somebody much larger as an artist that they don't know, right?
Exactly. But buying a beer, for example, doesn't have that attachment of that you can buy a beer to anybody. Like it doesn't have to be a rapper or a famous person or whatever. A beer is a beer. You know,
right.
Homie's a homie, you know?
Hmm.
But when you take that concept of like support out, like supporting, because a beer is a gesture.
Right.
Support can be a gesture between friends.
Yes.
But I feel like it's more of a... it's less of a gesture from someone who doesn't know you. It's more of a like, it is a gesture, but it's a gesture of something else. It's support as opposed to love.
I get that.
You know what I mean?
I'd like to continue this research and pose a couple of other questions to add to it.
Yeah.
One would be, would you be willing to pay 10 dirhams to come over for a private listening party?
Wait, you mean entry fee?
As an entry fee, right?
Right, to a private listening party?
So yeah, because the reason why I put that one first, because the follow-up would be, would you be willing to pay $100 to come and watch Tack perform on stage for 20 minutes?
I see where this is going. This is very smart. Because right. The first one, here's the thing. People will say yes 100% to the listening party.
Right.
Because of the exclusivity of it. And not because they actually give a fuck about what I'm like showing them.
And that's what I want to test out.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think it's just a very interesting piece for me. Because here's the thing. Like, things we've learned through the past couple of years with everything that's been happening is that the role of music, art, and culture is critical to people's health and happiness. Like, it does play an important role, i.e. the movies, the everything you consume in pop culture, the podcast, the music, the films, the shows, the books that you read. You know, it's part of that. Like, the art pieces you choose to buy or invest in, or even learning how to pick up painting or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to monetizing and setting a dollar value against that, there's a very interesting dynamic where the market sets that for you in some degree.
Yeah.
And that has shifted over time. It's not about talent as much as it's talent plus, oh, you got to be on social. Yeah. You got to do this. You got to do that. Like, you even see with athletes, right? Like, back in the day, if a scout is going to go find an athlete, a football player or a basketball player, whatever it is, okay, do you play? Are you one of the best in the world? Can we make you the number one star? Then, yo, let's sign you on. Now, but how does your social media look as well? It's become an expectation of being like, you know, college basketball players don't want to make Division I or want to make it to the NBA. So it's very interesting, like, how that dynamic develops itself. Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, I want to understand where does the value sit then? Mm. Like, is it, because it's interesting. Like, yeah, we're willing to pay for a beer, but then not willing to pay 5 dirhams to buy one of your tracks. But then that begs the question of, okay, if we decide to release our next album as a record, how many people are willing to pay for a vinyl or a cassette or like a physical piece, right? Yeah. And that's why I like the Bandcamp model.
Yeah, Bandcamp is sick.
Yeah, Bandcamp has a great model.
Yeah, it's just the only thing I don't like about Bandcamp is the layout of everything. It looks so janky.
It's not user-friendly. Like, the tech side is horrible. The tech side is...
Yeah,
is,
but the concept is, it's there. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Like, you buy a record and you get access to the MP3s and then... A year later, 6 months later, it could release on streaming platforms. But till then, this is the way you could get it, right?
Yeah, I think that's great. I also think it's great for, like, artists who their goal is not, like... Like, for example, a perfect example is Odyssey.
Yeah.
I think he's so, so smart with the way that he uses his fan base to get income. It's not in a... Like, you think of artists like Kendrick Lamar and stuff like that. Streaming is, like, perfect for them.
Yeah.
Streaming is a perfect way to make money.
You have exactly. The audience size.
That's a viable source of income for any artist. And it's also like what your goals are. Like, for me personally, I'm trying to reach Kendrick Lamar levels of whatever. And that takes a different kind of success. But then, like Odyssey said on the one episode, success is different, right? Success is very different for different artists. And for Odyssey, he has a loyal fan base, a core fan base that, because obviously you have your core fan base and then you're like your fair-weathered fans, right?
Yeah.
His core fan base, arguably, in scale, is bigger than Kendrick's core fan base, in scale-wise. Like, I don't think if you scale down their fans, I don't think Kendrick has as many...
Like, the ride or die, know every word, exactly, every track.
Exactly.
That's super...
Exactly.
Like, what do we call it? Super fans.
Yeah,
right?
But they're not really super fans. It's just about how the artist cultivated the community.
Right.
Yeah. So this young man, Anis, online.
Yeah, yeah.
Spectacular.
The way that he cultivates his community is unbelievable. Like, I followed him when he had, like, 3,000 followers. Yeah. And I tell you, like, that young man has constantly contributed on a daily basis to growing his community. Yeah, and it's paying off now. Now we're seeing him become a star.
Yeah, and I hate seeing his face, but I love what's happening to him.
Yeah, no. Like,
he has the most annoying face ever, but he's beautiful. He's a beautiful person.
With that little stash and curly hair. Yo, like, I've got to say, when I see how much he's contributed, because I am a part of the community just watching, lyrically, the young man is so interesting to me.
Right.
Because he only sings love songs.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and they're very
happy.
Optimistic.
Yes.
It's very, like, I don't want to say such a wrong word to use, but it's like ignorant of every other emotion.
There's a naivety.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that about it. Yeah.
That's the purity of it. Like, he comes off as like a very naive, innocent, loving kind of guy.
Exactly.
But I'm here for it. Because also, in some ways, I feel like that kind of music didn't exist in this certain direction or packaging of love music that he does, which I kind of love too.
I think I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I think that it comes down to the artist and how they, like, Odyssey cultivates his community. He speaks directly to his community. He really does invest in that. Whereas Kendrick has labels behind, like he has a huge label, the machine. He's in the machine, so the machine's doing what it does, right?
Yeah, and Odyssey's doing everything independent.
Yeah, right. Facts. And I think imagine if you scaled, if Odyssey had a label, for example, that used his business acumen and his like kind of methodology with his community, but scaled it. Like through a labels machine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in a very genuine way. Like obviously without all the overproduction and the oversaturation of media, whatever. It's more like really precise targeting. Because labels, what's really sick about labels, and that's why I don't like when artists like talk shit about labels. It's like labels over hundreds of years, over like 150, 200 years, have like, maybe not when they were called labels, maybe they were called something else at the time, but they have cultivated demographics, connections,
data.
They have research. Data, exactly.
They
they are so good at pinpointing an audience and building a brand.
Yeah.
Like, imagine having that kind of knowledge behind a niche and core-driven career like Odyssey's.
Yeah.
I have not seen that. I think that's so interesting to me. Like, I think that's true. Like, similar to MF Doom.
Yeah.
In a way, MF Doom, like, I think he's the best example of a cult following in hip hop. I think to this day, bro. Yeah. You know how people say, like, oh, Tupac's still alive? No, I genuinely, in my heart, I feel his heartbeat in my, you know what I mean?
He just took off the mask.
He just took off the mask.
And quit music.
Exactly. You feel me? So I'm still praying that one day he's going to come drop a surprise album. You know what I mean?
You still do? Are you on that bandwagon?
Yo, you have no idea. Like, the reason is MF Doom is so. His character was based on something that wasn't real. So when you listen to him, it's kind of like, you don't exist in this plane of existence. So how can you die in this plane of existence? It doesn't make any sense.
You totally drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally like...
I love that you did that. I love that.
Bro, get this. Obviously, rest in peace and respect to his family and everything. He died on Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay, can we not? Like, I don't want to go into this.
Are the air horns when we need them?
Yeah, this conspiracy. No.
This conspiracy theory.
Well, obviously, I don't believe it, but it's so
like you
want
to believe that there's something.
Yeah, of course, and that's part of the mystique of MF Doom is also so sick that like everything in his life supported this like character that he based off of a comic book.
Right.
And like everything from his the mystery behind it, like his death was announced 3 months after his actual death on New Year's. I remember I found out Aaron P actually, he messaged me and he's like, bro, don't open Instagram right like five minutes after New Year's.
Out of all the things to say, not protect your heart.
It's like when telling somebody don't look behind you, first thing they're gonna do is look behind him,
fam, because he knew. I would collapse.
I did.
Yeah. You might have felt a little tremor in the.
Oh, you were the cause of that.
Yes, exactly.
I see. I was thinking on the interwebs because it was like MF Doom passing, and then slight earthquake.
Exactly. Okay.
Tag. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, when I fall, I take 5 seconds to fall. It's the slowest fall.
You pull everything around you down with you. Everything comes down.
Oh, no. He was just trying to save us. Yeah, he was just trying to save us. He's a good guy.
The curiosity would, like, that's why he fell. It's the curiosity that had him rushing to see what happened.
Yeah, man. But, yeah, and what I was trying to get to is that that's a perfect example of a cult following.
Yeah.
And it's also a good example of his label at the time was so good at, like, zeroing in on the type of people that would listen to Doom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was an example of a machine, not as big a machine as like Empire or whatever, but it was enough with enough information to spread like a disease, bro. This cult was an actual
MF Doom's one of the greatest in my opinion.
100%.
All right, and more interesting things. I've been dying to start this Reddit
because that wasn't.
No, it's great.
Ouch.
I'm a big fan, but you know, this has taken a heavy toll. And as much as I want to talk about it, I'm feeling it. Like I'm feeling my shoulders like stoop a little. So, you know, yeah, I'm no, trying to sit up straight and fix this, correct the situation. So the reason why we're doing this is because Reddit's amazing. For those that are interested, this is in the Dubai subreddit. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Reem, you're a vocalist and an artist.
A vocalist. That's the last thing I am. But I will read this. I'll read this whackness out. So the title is Help, Strong Ghost in Our Room. Ah, this is in Dubai. How nice. Okay.
I told you it was on the Dubai subreddit.
Yes, you did. Okay. But I just now it dawns on me what I'm about to do. Okay, so March this year. So this is not grammatically correct. I'm going to correct it as I read it.
Sure.
March this year, we transferred to a new 2-bedroom apartment. It was fine when we first saw the house for the first time. But when we were moving our things, as I opened one built-in cabinet,
just
I
as
felt
a note, this was March 2022. So this is the beginning of inflation. They caused it. Keep going.
Wait. Okay, when we were moving our things, as I opened one built-in cabinet, I felt a heavy energy in that area. And that energy can be felt in half of the room. I didn't say a word. Yet my wife, my sister-in-law, sister and brother, mashallah, this is the whole family in here, said the same thing. They literally stopped and said, something is wrong in this room. Me, my wife, and our one-year-old tried to live with it. I covered the cabinet with wallpaper. This is some Narnia.
Wow.
I covered the cabinet with wallpaper. I put a new 6-door cabinet for it to be totally hidden. But they already had a contract, so he couldn't remove it, he says. Sometimes it makes small noises, but at least the bad energy became less. Until last night at 3 a.m., I put my baby back to sleep because he was crying, and he woke me and the wife. And we heard one of his toys, small color beads, pouring out. I told my wife maybe it was outside, although I knew that sound since I always play with my baby. Then he has a wooden wheeled toy that is very heavy and will make a creaky sound if it's pushed. It was kept in the corner and it moved. We said, no, it's in our room. Then I moved again then it moved again twice. So this wooden toy moved twice. We are very sure the noise is inside the room. It was very loud while the two of us were awake and we were discussing what was going on. My wife stood up and checked outside and there was no one there. Yo, this guy didn't go check. His whole family's in the room.
He
sent his wife to go check.
To go take a look.
I stood up.
Shout out to your brave work.
Gender roles, first of all. No. My wife is a badass.
Yes, she is.
Fair. Thank you for correcting me, Young Tech. Yeah. I stood up, opened the lights, and showed her which toys were exactly the ones where the sounds were coming from. The energy was very strong again. And this morning, as I'm about to go to work, the whole time I have goosebumps. Here's the question. Does any one of you know a psychic or a medium that can deal with this? Any suggestions? Yeah. I'm afraid for my baby, as I'm sure we now know it is a poltergeist.
Broken.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Reddit.
Someone needs to animate this. This whole thing.
Okay, so like, let's backtrack.
This is amazing. Before we get into the comments, please.
Well, this is in essence what happens. These guys move into the house. There's a bad energy in the room with a built-in closet. If your walk-in closet is haunted, my guys, I don't know what to do about that. So it's built in, right? So it seems like in the kids' room, there's really bad energy and everybody felt it. Then the next night, they heard, you know, I guess beads, like being poured out, you know, like which is scary and dope at the same time, in my opinion. And then they heard a wooden toy being moved across the room twice. And now they want to know if there is a psychic medium or whatever, because they have decided that it is a poltergeist.
No, just psychic or medium. There weren't any other options offered. There were no other requests.
Okay.
Imagine Imam, bro. I want to go there
straight
with Jalabiya, bro.
You know?
Straight up. I don't know why what plays in my head when I first read this was one of the scary movie series, like, you know, the Wayans brothers,
right,
scary movie, when Cedric the Entertainer was an exorcist.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
look,
I wanted to play that character, just be the imam in this one, and be like, bro, I got you.
So let's take it to the heart of it. Do you guys believe in this stuff?
This sounds like there was gas.
Do you guys believe, OT, in ghosts that can move things and bad energy?
No.
I mean, it's such a weird question.
Okay.
I want to say no really badly, but the amount of like weird experiences I've had, like, because I'm a very, very logical person. If I experience something like that, I try to like, as much as possible, find the logic in what just happened.
Right.
Sometimes I couldn't.
Okay.
And I just pushed it in the back of my head.
Like, there it
That's
is
fine.
In the closet in the back.
But in my brain is telling me no. But my heart started beating.
Okay.
Okay, Artaki.
Okay, Artaki, I see you.
Yeah, man.
I think that, so for me, it's no, not just because for logical reasons. Like, I do believe in the existence of djinn, but ghosts that are just going to move shit around just to, you know, mess with you, I'm like, ah, bro, calm your shit. That, I not so much. I don't think that's the thing. And in an apartment and with this context, I feel like, bro, that wooden thing that moved and you were up late at night, I mean, your neighbors might have had action going on that you ain't having, bro.
Right. Yeah. But so, we don't know. These are things we don't know.
You know?
Right?
To be honest,
so
though,
I don't know. I feel like there's so many other
what's really interesting
explanations.
Is when it comes to real estate here and the philosophy of, like, djinn and the occult and stuff like that, there is actually, like, people take this into account. Like, real estate agents take, like, burial grounds and whatever into account when they...
Yeah.
It's an actual thing. Like, some people will be like, okay, so listen, this house was haunted, so the price is going to go... Like, it's a real thing to...
So
and it's interesting.
But houses, not an apartment.
I mean, it's areas usually. It's not just houses. Well, yeah. It's areas. Like, it'll be apartment buildings. So, obviously, you know, like... I don't know what the rent is like for djinn out there. So, I don't know. Like, which,
they moved into one of the cheap rooms.
You know? They just show up.
Yeah, so... But that's the thing. It's like... it's really interesting how they will actually... Like, you are supposed to tell the tenant, like, or the future tenant, or, like, potential tenant, like, yo, listen, this place is, there's been something.
Right.
And you need to be okay with it. And some places, they're not even allowed, like, they will build the whole estate. And they'll be like, actually, the government says you're not allowed to live here because there's a problem.
Like, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's
so
insane.
I mean, look, I totally understand. The way I see all of this stuff for me is... Once one person believes it, it begins this spiral of... It is the funniest thing. So when I was younger in Philippines, like, they're really superstitious. Like super, super superstitious.
Yo, Africans, we're all about superstitions.
Right?
Like, it's part of who we are.
Right. So I'm going to make a confession because I don't care. So
express your heart.
Right. So there was this game that we would play where we would make a Ouija board, right? Like, because that movie came out, The Craft or whatever, and there was, like, a Ouija board in it. I will tell you right now, if my finger was touching that, I was the one moving it. Straight up. If my hand was on that board, it was me moving it. Because I got so bored waiting for a spirit to come and move it. I was just, like, moving it, and everyone would freak out. And I loved the attention. So of I would course. Just do that. And I would spell out all kinds of things.
So you were the djinn in the game.
100%. 100%. You know? So that's why I don't believe in it so much. Because I was the one... I was the one moving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what? That is actually crazy enough. They did, like, a little, like, experiment where they, like, blindfolded people and they made them believe that their hand was on a Ouija board. And it would move. Their hand would move. And it was weird because the more self-aware people knew moved, like on purpose.
Right.
But the people who were not as self-aware, it would move. But it's a subconscious thing that they're doing.
And the belief, they want to believe.
Yeah, the belief is so strong that it'll bypass their logic completely to fit the narrative. So I feel like people who are a little bit more self-aware look at things like this differently.
I agree. Like, when I read this story, I was like, look, this is obviously a person who, like, really cares about his family and wants to, like, this idea of bad energy and whatever. It could just be a manifestation of his protectionism, like, wanting to protect the home or wanting to, like, clean out or protect the home. Like, I'm not convinced. Look, weird things have happened to me in my lifetime, but I'm still not convinced that there is something that can... move
you know what I mean.
So, like, I'm not there
mind. That's why I said no. I'm like, bro, like, nobody's gonna sit around moving shit for you.
But this whole thing about energy, like, I admit, when I meet people, it's completely an energetic experience for me.
Yeah,
I meet people and I feel energy.
But isn't that what they say? Like, you know, on the street, it's called vibe, you know,
whatever it is.
People call it energy, spiritual people call it spirits. Like, there's it exists in all avenues of life throughout generations. Man. Like, it's a thing.
But all it takes is one person to be in a room and be like, there's bad energy in here.
Akawi.
And then it's...
Oh, sorry.
Akawi doesn't do that, no. But it starts this thinking. It's like in the air. It's like, you know, it's like a fume that sort of goes around.
The AC was probably off.
Do you know what I mean? Bruh. It was just hot.
I feel like the guy after the first month, he saw
the Diwa
bill.
There was no maintenance in the apartment.
Now listen, he saw the Diwa bill and he was like, this is too much. I need out of my contract right now.
Straight up.
Let me put the story on Reddit and hopefully.
Yeah. And so the comments are amazing too, by the way.
Oh, wait. Yeah, get to the comments.
I'm going to go through my favorites first. Okay, so somebody said, use a baby monitor and get footage and post it on here, please.
Oh, wait, we're tolerating this? Okay, right? Dope. Okay,
and,
fine.
And someone responded to that comment saying, hopefully it's in 4K. These baby monitor ghosts are always in low resolution.
It's so true.
They're not lying. It's so true. Definitely true.
It's so true.
Like, we want to see how beautiful this ghost is.
Right, exactly. But you know that movie, The Blair Witch Project? Do you remember that?
Yo, that was sick.
Okay, a stroke of social experimental genius, in my opinion. It was like a social experiment.
Yeah.
It was
low budget as well. Too.
It was low budget as all hell. And then the people watching it, you know, were like engaged in whether this is real or not or whatever, whatever. And I remember I was in high school when it came out. And at the time, the guy I was seeing was convinced that this thing was real, that there was a documentary film thing found in a whatever. And finally, one of the actresses gets on Jay Leno on the show. And I'm like, look, she's alive. You know what I mean? And I just thought, how remarkable this idea that they've created, you know, it is when you spin a story. And that's where folklore comes from to me, you know? So anyways, continue on. And yeah, that had a whole baby monitor situation or whatever the second one had one.
Yeah.
Somebody said, responded, like, yeah, like, we want to see how beautiful the ghost is. Not even a week since the Thistle Lab blocked Tinder, and now look what's happening.
Less than a week since the Thistle Lab blocked Tinder.
They did?
Oh,
that's wild.
You wouldn't know.
I'm on Do, bro. I'm chilling.
Oh, wait, you're good.
Can you still access Tinder from Do? I don't have an account. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Good to note.
Somebody said, yeah, they just want to see some boobies.
Wow.
Boo to that joke. That's not even funny.
Do I censor boobies?
Great question.
I don't know. Leave it out there.
It's terrible. It's a terrible joke.
And then the conversation kind of drifted about Tinder being blocked and not, and people...
Welcome to Reddit.
This is in the comment section. They completely lost interest in the ghost, right?
No, that's what happens on Reddit. That's Reddit.
So happens to do with Dubai people. Anything else to do with laws and changes. Like, what? Really? Wow.
What happened? Oh, my God.
And see, I told you. Somebody told him it's gas. Like, check it out for gas leaks.
Why?
Yeah, maybe that's getting to his head.
But that's the thing, because the fumes. If it's an old closet and there were bad vibes or energy and you feel it in the room... Chances are it's just a gas leak and a stank, bro.
No, like, but...
Get your shit together.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but that's such a stretch. Because obviously, if it's a gas leak, then a simple, like, if he's wearing socks or something like that, it can trigger a fire. Like, that's a gas leak.
What kind of movie have you been watching?
I don't know, man.
It doesn't.
I was always told if socks there's a gas leak... It's not socks. I mean, like, if you can... Oh, okay. If any static, like static and friction can trigger something. That's what I remember. Which is why when I have gas ovens, I'm always, like, super diligent about it. Also, because I don't like the idea of going mad from gas.
They should check if there was a vent in that room.
Yeah.
That's like another thing.
Busted
in general.
Pipe of some sort.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a sewage pipe that's a little busted, bruh, like, it's been stanking.
He didn't say it stank. He said that there's bad energy. It's two different things.
But like, no, that's what I mean. Like, maybe the vent is like... I'm trying to justify it in any way possible.
Right. You guys are reaching.
I feel like I'm gaslighting him.
You are gaslighting him. Somebody, pun intended.
Somebody said, switch off the AC and open the windows for a couple of days. The ghost will get fed up with the heat and leave.
You know what I would have commented? Drink 7-Up.
Drink 7-Up. Exactly. Yes. The age-old solution.
It is.
Yo, look,
I
appreciate that these people are feeling fear and like need, but I don't know what a medium will do. Other than comfort you.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Or like, extort you.
Nobody on Reddit wants to comfort this person whatsoever.
But, I'm curious at this point. Let's do a Dukan trip, bro. Let's go.
You know what? I wanna go see. Like this is the thing, is like when I meet people, it's all energy. So what if maybe there's this like layer of bad energy that I've never interacted with that I would like to, and this guy's my doorway into that documentary.
Straight up.
I'm in.
Somebody said, stay in the living room. Ghosts can't enter a living room.
What?
Wow.
This is what I'm saying. It just spirals into...
that's stupid. Oh, I love it.
It spirals. Once it's like a fumes. It's ridiculous. Like a fume, man. And once you throw it out in the
that's
air.
That's such a mustardy joke.
Oh my god. I can't do it.
That's amazing. It just gets better.
But okay, so if you have a gin problem, where do you go in this town? not Alcoholics Anonymous. Like
I was about to say that.
Like an actual ghosty problem.
Because that's Reem's joke. So she saved it before. Yeah. You know, she gave anybody an opportunity to throw it in there.
That was tough.
Sorry, Zach.
That's okay.
No, I think you can call up a hotline for the sheikhs.
There's a sheikh hotline?
Yeah. There's a sheikh hotline.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry. You guys are going to need to explain this to the masses because I clearly don't know.
No, you can call a sheikh for advice. You can call a sheikh to come to your house and read Quran on your forehead.
Okay.
Yeah. My dad used to do that to me all the time because he was convinced there was something wrong with me.
I mean, seeing you now.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Who could blame him?
Are you the bad energy?
To be honest, yeah.
Wait a minute. So where's the hotline in the UAE?
Different Emirates have them. So it's usually under the Islamic Affairs.
Could these people call?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God, Dukan, coming up with solutions every time.
Yeah, it's like a consultation.
Okay,
do you want to respond to this dude's Reddit?
Of course I am.
I feel like, you know what? I feel like this might be fake. The only reason is because you'd feel like the first course of action is to Google, and then if you don't find something, go on Reddit.
What is he going to Google?
No,
bad
Reddit
energy.
First. Google, like, Google how to contact a sheikh or...
No, but
they're
he wanted a medium.
Like that. Yeah, they're thinking like medium to speak to the...
He wants a white lady to come and talk to the spirits on their behalf.
We don't know what... We don't know that.
That's
like,
what 90 Day Fiancé told me.
We don't know that. But I do know, like... That's interesting. I didn't know there was a hotline. I didn't know that you could, like, what if this hotline will give them comfort, you know?
Yeah, to be honest.
Hey, Reem, I'm going to leave that to you. Please take the lead on this.
As soon as we stop recording and I turn my phone back on, I'm gonna let them know. You're going to need to find this. I'll Google it. Don't worry.
Okay,
tech.
Thank you.
Google it, Reem. It's easy. It is easy.
I got it.
Why you no-no?
I got it.
All right. What else? We had Ask Reddit joins earlier, too. Reem, women of Reddit.
Yeah,
if you could change
me.
Up to three things about men, what would they be?
Well, read what the comments are first.
No, I want to hear your
three things
first.
About men. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Young men, not much. When I say young, I don't mean in age. I mean in maturity. Okay. They tend to, in my experience, part of maturing is learning to give things time. I think young men or immature men have this impatience that creates so much pressure on friendships, on relationships, on whatever. No. Give things time. Like, stay the tide. You're going to be around for a bit. Have faith in that. That's the first thing. The second thing is I would like the patriarchy to end. Like, I would change that. I would change that about men.
Yeah,
it's not to say that all men support the patriarchy, but the patriarchy is directly connected to men. I'd like to stop that. If I can stop that, I would like to do that in a very, like, back to the future kind of way. And then the third thing I would change about men. I don't think that, no, I'm surrounded by pretty amazing men. I don't really have, like, those two things are pretty critical to me, I think, you know. Yeah.
I think I'd put our balls inside so we don't, like...
To avoid the injury.
Yeah.
Yo.
That's one thing I changed about us.
I don't, honestly, I'm sorry. I cannot relate.
Because.
So unrelatable.
Like, ovaries make so much sense.
The injury.
Like, the whole, like. Like, why don't we just have them inside? You know,
if there's a way you could avoid the injury, and, you know, you'll take, like, companies that make jock straps out of business.
Yeah, facts.
Well, there wouldn't be, right? Because if they were inside, they wouldn't have existed, right?
Yeah,
so
true. One second.
Let me look up. Where were you, OT, with that?
Ask Reddit.
Oh, okay.
All right. There's another one that I like, which I'd like to check discuss as well. Where is it? Ooh, anesthesiologist of Reddit.
Okay. Here we go.
What was something you won't forget hearing from somebody that was under?
Oh, what? Read it.
You want to know what was mine, apparently? When I had my surgery.
When you were under?
Yeah, when I had my surgery, I kept asking for my laptop. And I said that today, and I remember and people told me that, but I remember this because I was preparing for the day of the surgery leading up to it. This was in 2016, right? We would release all the Cancho episodes on a Tuesday. Mm. And the date of my surgery was a Tuesday. So... while I was under the entire time, I'm like, no, I need my laptop. I know the guys did not upload the episode. Even though I left them videos and I told them what to do, they did not do the right job. I need to upload this show.
Wow. See, if that isn't a workaholic, I don't know what is. And then, you need to get some help.
A few days, like, and then,
that is not okay.
Apparently, when I woke up in the ICU, obviously, I asked for the same thing. I didn't get it. And then I had to wait a few days later because the heart monitors in the ICU, if you have any gadgets.
Yeah, yeah, electromagnetic something.
They did give me my laptop, and I was right. They never uploaded the episode.
Wow.
So me being under was about work. It wasn't. It's not that exciting.
I mean, yeah. But what did the Reddit community say?
Okay, let's see. After an operation on a patient's neck, he woke up and yelled, "Ah!" and then grabbed his junk with both hands and was like, "Oh, thank God, it's still there." Then,
going back to Zach's point, they should be inside. If they were inside, this guy wouldn't have been afraid that they were gone.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
This is a good one. Okay, go ahead.
Go for it. What do you got?
Ladies of Reddit, what's the biggest misconception about your bodies that all men should know?
Oh, good one. What do you got?
I just came upon this Reddit right now. So one lady said, and this is actually interesting. She's like, vaginal discharge is a normal thing and it changes consistency.
That's true. Yeah, based on ovulation or other environments.
Tacky with the sex ed. See?
Straight up.
But I think, is that common knowledge amongst guys or no?
No, I know it because you told me before.
See?
I think now it probably is because it's just easier to talk about now than before.
Yeah, I guess.
I think women feel a lot more comfortable now as opposed to before.
Right.
Because as a result of men being slightly more encouraged to learn about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Slightly is the
word, Big Bird.
You're right.
This other lady said, we don't enjoy boobs as much as we flex them. They are constantly getting in the way. Actually, now that she says that. Yeah, I mean, they are a bit of an inconvenience.
Mine are fine.
you don't sleep on your stomach. Tack does.
I'm fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
They're always, if you play sports, they're always a concern.
Yeah.
If you play sports, they're always a thing. You know what I mean?
This reminds me of that Dave Chappelle skit. On Chappelle's show.
Which one?
The girl that wished to have smaller boobs. And then Chappelle shows up as a genie. And he's like, let me show you what life would be like without them.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
This is that moment.
That's funny. Okay, here's a good one. What was the biggest bullet you dodged? It's another Ask Reddit.
Ooh.
Honestly, I've dodged so many in my lifetime. It's a miracle I'm here.
I think if I could add one that's worth sharing is... As you always say, like, in another lifetime, you could have still been in Iraq, married to...
Yo, okay, dodged a bullet. Okay, yeah. So it through a series of adventures and my parents really fighting for, like, you know, their family, there is another universe where I'm an Iraqi woman with, like, 12 kids in the middle of Baghdad. Like, there is... The pathways, there were so many moments where we could have just stayed in Iraq. Like, and I... Dodged that bullet. I dodged. I can't even begin. And if you just think of who I am, it just is antithetical. But I know that in another dimension, there's a Reem that stayed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's insane. I always think about this. By the way, whenever I think about people and their ethnicities,
yeah.
I always try to imagine what they would look like back then.
Right.
Straight up.
Yeah, like I always imagine like you, for example, I'd imagine you wearing like Babylonian attire. Like,
you know?
You know what I mean?
And I have a fascination with Iraqi tattoos. So a lot of people don't know this, but Iraqi women specifically, women from Mesopotamia, so like from the first civilization, they have tattoos on their chin and around their waist for fertility. And they're like a line and dots. I think Sudanese...
Oh, yeah. We have that too.
Yeah.
We have the tattoos and we cut up cheeks.
Yeah. We don't cut up cheeks.
The Saidi people in Egypt also have that.
There's very... Yeah, exactly. So there's very little documented work on the...
Where it started.
It was called Tutia, I believe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's called Tutia.
My grandmother had it. I have a reference point in my lifetime for seeing women with this tattoo. And I remember looking at it and just thinking it's a mark of us. Like it's a mark of, you know, but it's so rare today to see an Iraqi woman with her face tattooed.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare.
Right.
But and you wouldn't even know it's Iraqi. That's how much we've been erased, you know, or our culture has been erased. So I find it fascinating, the whole thing.
That's
but
like
there is
Mari...
a universe where I've got one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine you with one of them.
Bro, yeah, you know what I mean?
I can see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see that in this universe.
No, no, I'm not tattooing my face.
Oh, no?
No, no.
Nothing on the chin?
No, it's not a thing. I'm sorry, guys. But, yeah, so...
Why?
What do you mean? I tack...
Like at a certain point. Though, I mean, like, yes. Won't you be like, fuck it?
Look, I love tattoos. I just...
Do you have any tattoos?
Yeah, I do. I've got a side piece. Anyways, oh, okay.
You got a what?
I've got a side piece.
Yes.
Okay. There's your soundbite.
That's the one.
And what's the bullet you dodged, OTOT? The biggest bullet. That's the hardest. It's hard. Just a big one. Then a big one.
A big one?
I'll read the comments after you, but...
I don't know. I'm trying to think of bullets that I've dodged. I feel like I go head on with bullets in my life. I don't know. Like, I don't know what
you don't dodge any?
He bites them. Stomps them with his teeth.
Yeah.
Yo, call me Superman. Right? Black Superman right here. I don't know. I can't think of any.
Really? Okay. So, here. All right.
Maybe I could have been a farmer. I don't know.
No. It's not like that. Let me show you the Reddit. Let's go into the Reddit, okay?
Hit me.
For about 4 to 5 years, I was hanging out with a guy. Oh, and this person posted it like 7 minutes ago. Oh, for about 4 to 5 years, I was hanging out with a guy from high school. I stopped hanging out with him when he really started getting into drugs. And not the fun drugs like mushrooms or LSD, but more like heroin and meth. Like really heavy drugs.
The usual stuff.
He murdered his mom about 2 weeks ago with the two youngest siblings in the house. Boom. What? Dodged a bullet. Dodged a bullet. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. This is the kind of thing these people are dodging. Look at you guys.
Yo, none. Straight up.
Wow. Yo,
I mean, white people are crazy.
Yo, yeah, that's assuming. A lot. Yeah. Oh, this guy said, crazy Indonesian chick. She once sent me a picture of her holding a kitchen knife. I think she was upset with me.
That's sick. That's dope.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like us in Thailand.
Yeah, straight up. Oh, wow. Okay, let me see.
What else did we dodge? Let me think.
I'm
sure I dodged something. Like, I feel like... here's the thing. I've always been lucky in life, and I think that's me dodging things that happen later. But, like, unless I know what happened after I was gone or removed from that situation, yeah. I'm not sure if I would be aware of it. Like, oh, actually, like, one time I did experience... I was driving back from Abu Dhabi, and this driver... As a lot of people that drive in this country know, the tailgate game sometimes is aggressive. Mm. And I remember, because I was driving, I looked up through my rear view. There was just nothing. And then I looked down at the road for a sec, and I looked up, and this guy was like right up. I was like,
wow.
Right up the ass of my car. I'm like, bro, come sit in. Let's have tea. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, come right in. And I was just so annoyed, but I didn't want to bother. So I just moved, and he shot through.
Jesus.
10 minutes later, I saw this guy in an accident with the car flipped on the freeway.
Wow.
You know? So I feel like, yeah, if somebody Damn. Wanted to kind of not move out of his way or whatever it
That's
is.
That's deep, bro.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
That I got. Like, things like that, I'm like, yo, straight up. That was my mom's prayers. Like,
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yo, that's crazy. Yo, mom intuition is insane, bro.
My mom, legitimately, you've seen it. Like, my mom will call in the moment. My mom will, like, not call. Yeah. She'll message me and be like, call me now. Or, like, when my brother Adam got sick, she knew immediately. She knew. It was just like, he's sick. It's crazy. I love mom intuition.
Yo, when I was a kid, I used to go to these little, like, parties in like Meadows playgrounds and stuff. We used to like grab a bottle of vodka from the milkman.
We used to
the milkman.
Bro, we were like 13, 14 getting lit, bro. Like, wild. See,
my thing is that was like 5 years ago for you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yo, I think it's my parents were like really weirdly cool with me being out. Like I'll say like on a school day, bro, I'll be like, yo, listen, I'm gonna be back at 12, like midnight. And then I'll be back Monday morning.
Right.
Like, wow. And the thing is, because of the way my parents are, they're just like, oh, okay, cool.
Wow.
So, but
my mom would have had the cops out looking for me.
Man, when you have an older brother like mine, bro, they let a lot slide, you know? So, the one time my mom ever called me to come back home out of nowhere for no reason, I was chilling at the park, and usually what would happen is sometimes the people in the villas would like complain, and then like the security will call the police because like there's a bunch of kids getting lit. You know?
Y'all messy.
Yeah, exactly. And then out of nowhere, in the middle of the playground, I get a phone call from my mom. My mom calls me. She's like, I'm not going to say my government name, but it was Tak. Tak, can you...
Wait, your mom called you Tak.
No, yeah, but not back then. Back then it was...
I understand.
He prefaced it with, I'm not going to say my government
name. So he went with Tak. Yeah. All right. Cool, cool.
She was she was like, I need you to come amazing. Home.
Yeah, Tak, like, come home, your mom
She's
said.
Like, I need you to come home. And I'm like, why? You're like, that's weird. You never tell me to come.
Right.
She's like, I don't know. But something in my gut is telling you to come.
Right.
I was already bored anyway. So I was like, fuck it. Okay, cool. I called. Back then, you had to call taxis, like 04884.
Oh, there it is. You never forget.
You had to call the RTA.
You never forget your ride home.
Yes, I called. I got in the cab, but I was on my way home. It was like 1 a.m. maybe.
Right.
Something like that. While I'm in the cab home, I hear sirens.
Oh, no.
And then by the time I got home, my boy called me. He's just like, yo, everybody got caught.
Everybody. Wow, your mom.
Like,
your mom
and I got
saved
home,
you
and
again.
My mom was waiting for me, and I was just like, "Yo, like, what's up?" And then she's just like, "Are you good? Like, anything happened to you?" And I'm just like, "No, I'm good." And she's like, "I felt something was wrong." Obviously, I'm not gonna tell her what happened.
Right.
No. Like, oh, mom, I was out drinking.
No.
And everyone got caught, but me.
You all drunk and like slip and slurring your words, and you're trying to tell your mom.
No, I was a professional.
Something happens when I used to see my parents. I would sober up immediately.
Yeah,
like, I would sober up, like, suddenly, like, feel nothing, just fear.
And you know what's crazy is I feel like the reality is, at the time, at least when I used to drink like that, it would be like, I am actually that sober, but I just really wanted to play the part.
Right.
My body just loosens up because I'm around friends. So, but in reality, you're actually that sober.
Right, I get that.
Because there's been times where I've literally could not speak. Bro,
yeah, like, but
that's real drunk.
That's real, you know, super, I mean? Drunk.
Yeah, you can as well sober up instantly. That, yeah.
On that note,
on that great note,
on that lovely note, I don't know how to become alcoholics on the show. We do not condone this, haram.
Or children drinking.
Tax children.
I'm sober now, 5 years, guys, everyone.
MashaAllah.
Look at this guy.
That's dope.
Thank you.
If you are underage, please do not consume alcohol.
Worst thing you could ever do.
And if you see kids around you drinking, slap them upside the head.
Call
and
the police.
The
give them this experience, bro. it's a crime.
Give them the life experience of calling the cops.
Yeah, bro. Let them feel.
OT's dad. Did
be
he,
a snitch.
Is it your dad that left you when you got in trouble, or was it
Mubarak? No, my brother.
Yeah. OT's dad has a... Like,
oh, my dad don't play.
Just, if you get in trouble, he's going to leave you there.
So, Mubarak, I love you, but I'm going to rat you out with this one quick story because it's entertaining and I think it's a great story to share with the world. And this is how my brother dodged a bullet. So teenagers, high school, he goes out with his friends and told my parents he's it was something like he was going to pray or something along those lines. And he was grounded. He wasn't supposed to go out, but he did. He went jet skiing with his friends. They busted a jet ski. And I'm a freshman in university at the time. And he calls me out the blue, was like, hey, you got a minute? I'm like, yeah, what's up? He's like, okay, we got to talk. It's important. I'm like, yeah, what's happening? And he's like, so, you know, I wasn't supposed to leave. I'm like, yeah, I heard you were grounded. I'm like, yeah. So we went jet skiing.
I heard you were grounded.
We broke the jet ski, and the guy's asking for 15,000 dirhams. You think you got money I could borrow? I'm like, wait, what?
I'm in. Where? Like,
how much?
That's my favorite. When people ask you for, like, yo, you got 100K I can, like have. I'll get it to you next week. I'm like,
a measly $3
million. Yeah,
I was like,
might as well be 1,000.
I'm living off of cup noodles and bananas on a good day. You think I'm going to have 15,000 to spare just lying around? And he's like, yeah, no, I don't know what to do. Can we call somebody? Any of your friends? I'm like, I don't know. You might have to call your dad. He's like, no, I can't tell him, bro. I'm going to, like, okay, there's so much trouble. I'm like, no, you got to call your dad. Like,
your dad, you mean our dad.
There's nothing else that we can do.
Call him a book.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I can't. I'm like, you know what? Then call mom. If you're lucky, she's in a loving mood. She'll be your proxy. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, look, you're going to have to tell him, or I'm going to tell him, because he's like, this guy is threatening them to take him to the police. And, you know, he's panicking and they're all terrified. And him and his friends are trying to scrap some cash to pay for this thing. Anyway, eventually figured it out, called up my dad, spoke to my dad. And my dad being my dad, he tells the guy, I'm not going to pay you. The dude's like, sir, no, they broke it. They need to fix it. Like, no,
great,
no, no.
Great accent.
He's like,
I love how it was so ambiguous. Yeah, like, yeah, no, no.
You can't point it.
No race.
None.
You can never guess. And my dad's like, no. Take him to the police station and I will come with my checkbook. And if the police tell me to pay you, I'll pay you, no problem. Like, I just need to let my lawyer know and I'll see you there. The guy's like, no, sir, it's too much. You haram kids. He's like, no, no. He was not supposed to leave. He can go to prison for the night.
That's OT's dad.
That's my dad. He's like, he can spend the night in prison. So he learns next time he's grounded. He is grounded. He's not supposed to leave. Gangster. He's like, and you know what? They can keep it for a week. If you want your money, I'll meet you there. Like, what's the problem? And the guy's like, okay, I'll talk to my boss. I'll call you back. And he shuts the phone. And a few minutes later, calls my dad, tries to negotiate. He's like, you know what? Forget it. Not even 15. Let's make it 10. My dad's like, no, no, no. You're not getting the point. He better spend the night in prison. I'm not giving you anything until I see him behind bars.
Wow.
And cops tell me that it's okay to pay you against your paperwork. This back and forth kept happening. And this guy kept going back to check with his boss and come back. This thing went from being 15,000 dirham worth of repair to being 100 dirhams worth of repair.
Wow.
And then eventually the boss, the guy ended up calling my dad. The issue was that these jet skis were not licensed. My dad's like, oh, so I'm not paying anything.
Wow.
And the guy's like, sir, no, that. I was like, no, I'm not paying. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Either take him to the police station and I'll see you there, or I'm not going to pay. Yeah. And then what? You know?
That's hard. So that's gangster.
That's how my brother dodged a big fat bullet.
Yeah, that's a big fat bullet.
Yeah. So he never saw the inside of a prison cell, but he did get grounded again.
Rightfully.
Even worse than a prison cell. The emotional damage.
The trauma itself was more than enough.
So true.
So yeah. So that was Mubarak's bullet.
Yo.
All right. And on that note, I'm going to love you and leave you guys. This has been a wonderful episode. How long have we been on this for?
This is 56 minutes.
Oh, you guys are going to have to cut this down. Yes,
Tak and Simi, I love you guys. Good luck.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.